Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, your host, and I'm very happy that you have downloaded and pressed play today and joined me. It's great to have you here with me. Today is a turned out to be a grandchild intensive episode of A Quiet Life. So I have just been to Canberra to visit my little family up there, including my little grandson, Roo, and I have been learning lessons or relearning lessons from looking at Roo learning his own lessons, and I wanted to share those with you. I really want to talk about failure, and what I've learned about failure I've learned from watching my own kids grow up, and now I'm relearning from watching Roo grow up. So it's a lesson I wanted to share, but of course, you know, I mentioned my grandson to Scotty. He has to tell me about his grandson, who is also teaching us these lessons as well. And so, yes, it's a grandchild intensive podcast, and I apologize. I will try not to rave about Roo too much, but you know, he's so cute. So yes, I've just had a week up in Canberra with the family, and that's been really great. And now I'm back and with vengeance trying to get all the work done and everything. And I wanted to share one other thing with you that is not grandchild related. The Universe is a Small Place is a novel that I have just finished writing, and it's exciting, and I'm hoping to launch it the first weekend in December. So I just wanted to let you know. Of course, it's a novel. It's not my non-fiction work, and so I write under the name R.J. Amos rather than Ruth Amos. But you can find links through the ruthamos.com.au to all my novels on my other website. And yeah, I just wanted to let you know. It's exciting, and stay tuned. I will tell you more about it as we get the planning done and get that underway. Today we are talking about failure, and this is one of my favourite subjects because I think we can learn so much about what it is and what it isn't and how important it is. I wanted to do this one for a few episodes. It's been bubbling around in the back of my mind because you know that saying, failure is not an option. Well, I want to tell you, failure is an option. I know that that saying was about getting people to the moon and back safely or whatever, but you know, in general life, when we want to do something, start something, get good at something, failure is something we need to take into account. It's not something to be avoided. It's something to be built on and worked on. And so I'm going to have a chat to Scotty about failure, and then I will chat to you more about that afterwards.
Good morning, this is Ultra 96.5, time for another Life Hack with Ruth Amos.
Good morning.
We should have like a podcast and call it like Life Hack, you know, hashtag 24, whatever it is, you know, like they do on the podcasts. It'd be cool.
I could do that with my podcast.
Well, you do have a podcast.
I do have a podcast. Yeah. You can listen to this on my podcast. Go to ruthamos.com.au and you'll find my podcast.
Ruthamos.com.au, make sure you do. But also your website is so good because you've got a whole bunch of other stuff on there, yeah. You know, and you talk about your books and all that sort of stuff.
That's right.
So
that's
make
right.
sure you check it out, ruthamos.com.au.
Anyway.
All right, what are we talking
today's
about?
Today's life hack.
Yeah.
It's called Failure is an Option.
Okay. All right.
So I've been right. When my kids were little, this really struck me. And now that I have a little grandson who's absolutely gorgeous, it has struck me again. How when they're learning, they're rubbish at what they're doing. And we don't mind. So I have a beautiful video of my little grandson, Roo, learning how to blow raspberries. And my daughter's there blowing raspberries at him, and he's just going, but, because he can't do it. And do we care? No. Do we sit there going, oh, you idiot? Like, he doesn't get it by the end of the video. Well, he's
failed. We go, that's so cute.
We go,
oh, look.
Look how he's learning. Look how he's taking it in. And I feel like God looks at us like that when we're learning something new. Can we look at ourselves like that when we're learning something new? Say, well, yeah, you know what? I'm starting trying something and I'm utterly rubbish at it, and that's okay. That's what's supposed to happen. Let me be
so
rubbish
good.
For a bit longer, and then, you know, maybe I'll get the hang of it.
I have to share, while you're talking about grandchildren, I have to share about my grandchild as well. He had his birthday the other day. Did you see the video of him trying to blow out the cake?
Yes.
So cute.
So cute.
And he's like, and it goes on for like a minute, and he's just trying, and all of a sudden it gets so close, I'm like, you're going to burn yourself. And then he finally blows out the candle, and it's the cutest thing ever. Like, and I reckon I've watched it 100 times now. Like, I just keep looking at it, and it just gets a big smile on my face.
That's right.
But failure is an option. And I think the trouble is, and I don't want to get too serious here, but the trouble is I think as children, we don't allow children to fail to the point that they won't take risks in life, you know, or because it's like, oh, but I could fail. And then they don't go out and do things. And you look at the greatest inventors of all time, and they've had 1,000 failures before that one thing.
That's absolutely right. You need to do it. You need to try different ways. Moz teaches graphic design, and one of the first steps that they need to do in graphic design is to sketch with pencil on paper their ideas. And he keeps saying to them, give me 6-10 different sketches of different ideas and different thoughts. But they want to get it perfect the first time, and they want to get it on the computer the first time. And that's not what it's about. And with all of our creative ideas, we need to do 10 or 100 or 1,000 different tries of different things before we might get hit on the right thing. We need to fail multiple times. So failure is actually a good thing if we learn from it and think, right, what can we change for the next try and see if that works or fails and move on,
And I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so for me, if I can't do something really well, then I have a tendency of going, well, I'm just not going to do it. Mm. And what I realised is that came back to something my dad told me when I was a young child. And he said, if you can't do something well, don't do it at all.
Oh, no.
And that, and I took that as truth, you know, because that's what my dad said, you know. And so I took down as one of my life things, you know, where I'm like, okay, if you can't do something, I know, if you can't do something properly, don't do it at all. Mm. And so I took that on myself. And it wasn't until years ago when I'm like, hang on, that's not true. Like, that was actually not true that my dad said to me back then. And I'm sure he said it with great intentions, but it wasn't true. And my boss, I was telling him about it at the time, and he said, Scotty, he said, all I want from you is 8 out of 10. He said, I don't want 10 out of 10, just give me 8 out of 10. And that's fine. You know, like, give me 8 out of 10. It almost freed me then to go, okay, I can do that. You know, like, and so it was amazing how that was so freeing. But to recognize this falsity that I had, which I'd taken on and believed in my own brain. We all have those, don't we?
Yeah, I think I am talking to the perfectionist. I am a perfectionist as well, and I am talking to these people who just think it has to be absolutely shiny, beautiful, perfect. Well, it doesn't. And you're right, 8 out of 10 is not actually failure.
No.
Failure is a horrible word, and I'm using it a lot because I want us to get used to it. But 8 out of 10 is not, it's a higher distinction, Scotty.
And also, like, because I'm a perfectionist, my 8 out of 10 might be somebody else's 10 out of 10, you know?
That's right.
And so, you know, and I started just going, okay, well, I'm sorry, but this is just 8 out of 10. He's like, it's fantastic, you know, that's perfect, you know? I was like, oh, okay, great, you know? And then I was able to start churning stuff out, but I was getting stuck because I'm like, oh, it's not perfect. It's not 10 out of 10. Yeah. It's like, don't give me 10 out of 10, just give me 8.
And to get where we want to be, we need to churn stuff out. Lots and lots and lots and lots of tries. And then as you work on it and work on it, you get better. Yeah,
absolutely. What a great life hack that is. No so worries. Important. Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you, Scotty.
See you in a couple of weeks.
See ya. Yeah, so when we're trying any new thing, we've got to be prepared that the first step we're going to do is probably to fail to some degree. And I did like what Scotty said about 8 out of 10. I think sometimes when we are looking at ourselves for a 10 out of 10, that is part of the issue. But yeah, when I had my own kids, I actually found a drawing. I'm going to try and put a picture of it up on my blog, which again, you can find at ruthamos.com.au. But a picture from my daughter, which was just two little circles and a long line. It was possibly a picture of me. It looks nothing like me. And I just had this light bulb go on thinking, well, yeah, okay, that picture doesn't look anything like me, but I think it's fantastic. And I realized that, yeah, God probably looks at us. You know, we can't be gods. We are humans and we are fallible, and that's what happens. But he's so much bigger than us and so much better than us that he looks at our little efforts and he's just like, yes, well done. That's fantastic. You tried. And that's the exciting thing. There's a very good video out there on YouTube, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. It's by Ira Glass and it's called The Gap. And Ira Glass's point is that when you are trying a new creative endeavor, your taste is good. You want to do this. You want to do painting or writing or sewing or whatever because you have good taste and you want to make something that you think is lovely because you have good taste. That's what I'm telling you. You have good taste. But your efforts are never going to meet that expectation that you have on yourself. And so there's a gap between what you can do and what your taste is. And that's a good thing. That gives you something to aim for. But in order to get there, you have to keep trying and keep failing and keep building on your failures, keep learning from what you've done. And yeah, I will come back to what Moz has said with his graphic design students, because the first step in that graphic design is to get a pencil and a piece of paper, or several pieces of paper, and just sketch out what you're thinking of doing. And the sketches look nothing like what the final outcome is going to be. And that's fine. That's the whole point. The whole point is to get some idea, some thought, some different things, and to put in maybe less effort at the beginning. Try and to look at several different ideas before you get to the end result that you want to have. But it's that failure sketching, that little messy stuff, is the foundation and the basis for what you're going to do in the future. And I see Baby Roo doing exactly the same thing. He's not walking, talking and feeding himself at the moment. He's not a fully fledged adult, and it doesn't matter. What he's trying is trying several new things to see if they work, and then building on the ones that do. He's actually quite funny trying to crawl at the moment, and watching him trying to crawl is hilarious, because when he does it on the bed, he just sort of thumps his head into the mattress and then scrunches up his knees and then pulls himself up and thumps his head down again. Now, that obviously is not a technique that's going to work on a concrete floor. He needs to find some other way to make it work. But it works well enough at the moment. And as he's doing it, he's learning and he's making new neural pathways. And from those new neural pathways, he's going to build on that until he gets to crawling anytime now. We're absolutely sure. So I want to look at my life in the same way and say, sure, okay, I want to try a new skill. I want to try podcasting. I love podcasting, and you don't see this. And I know I am not going to do this for you, but if I left in all of the stumbles and stammers and ways I tried a sentence one way first and then decided, no, that wasn't making any sense, let's go back and try it again another way, you wouldn't want to listen to this podcast. I'm telling you, I do a fair bit of editing of my own stuff. I cut out the so anyways, I cut out the you knows all the way through, and I love it because I can. It, you know, suits my perfectionist nature to go through and do some cleaning up, and I know it's not perfect when it comes out to you, because I can't make it perfect, but I can make it better than it was. But if I decided that I didn't want to do it because I said you know every third word, I would never get anywhere in the first place. And I know that I'm always learning how to do this, and that there are some pretty severe failures in the back catalogue of my podcast. I was originally doing interviews with people, and I took video on my phone, and I was thinking I'll be able to put this up on YouTube, and I look at it now and I think, oh heavens, it's dreadful. Or I'm interviewing someone and I'm just going all the way through the interview. How annoying is that to listen to? And I can't do anything about it, and I've left it up there. So if you want some particularly painful episodes of podcasts to listen to, go back to my previous, you know, my initial few 10 or 15 episodes, and you'll hear some pretty awful failures. I love the fact that I can clean up this podcast, but I also, yeah, I want to improve. I want to improve every week. But if I was afraid of failure, I would never have put anything out there. And, you know, I think actually you guys appreciate, well, some of you still listen to me and appreciate what I do. So thank you, because that's encouraging. And it helps me think, okay, I'm going to keep failing forward. You know, there were those statements, fail forward, fail fast, fail upwards, fail better, that have been passed around startups. And as I was reading and preparing for this podcast, I saw someone that said the stupidity of the fail fast philosophy. And so I thought, I'm going to read the stupidity of the fail fast philosophy just so that I know what not to say. And they said, yes, you can get confused. You can think that failure for failure's sake is the thing that we're looking for here, but actually it is not what we're looking for. I'm not just saying all failure is a good thing, but what I am saying is, if you are prepared to let yourself not meet the expectations, the hugely high expectations you have on yourself, and when you do something that you don't build to the highest expectation that you have, then you learn from it, build on it, do slightly better next time, and it's an iterative experience, then you will eventually build your skills to the point where you think that you have something worth giving. And that's the thing. I know there was an experiment done and I haven't been able to find a link to it. I'm sorry. I think I read it in a book somewhere and I'll keep looking because I don't need to put this out for another little while. So if I find it, I'll put it in the show notes. But it was an experiment and it was either photography or pottery. But the lecturer decided that they would divide the class into half, and for one half they say to them, okay, what we want you to do by the end of semester is produce a very high class piece of work. So say it was photography. What we want you to do at the end of the semester is produce for me the best photo that you can. So I want you to, you know, to have it well designed. I want it to be interesting. I want it to have great lighting. I want it to be perfect, the perfect photo. And your score for that photo will be your score for the whole semester. And to the other half of the class, they said, what I want you to do is produce for me as many photos as possible, and your score will be a cumulative score of all of the photographs that you provide by the end of semester. And the interesting thing about this experiment was that the people who worked very hard on perfecting one photograph had worse photographs than the people who just produced heaps and heaps and heaps of photographs. But because they learned from the volume and quantity of what they were doing, they in the end produced better photography than those who were just really thinking about what the lighting should be and what the placement should be and whatever, whatever. So there's a way in which, especially with creative endeavors, but much of the stuff that we do is creative, if you produce a volume, you are going to improve, especially if you learn from each, you know, incrementally, small measure, learn from each thing that you do. So going for volume and learning from volume is better than just trying to do one thing perfectly. So it's very obvious to see how this applies to creative applications, to drawing or to learning a musical instrument. Of course, you need to practice and practice and practice. We know this, and learn as you practice. And the more practice you do, the better you'll get. So creatively, that really works well. But I think it also works for things like, you know, planning a party or even going into a group of people and learning how to make new friends. Like if you can go do your best, get as much enjoyment as you can out of it, and then maybe do a little bit of a, I mean, you're going to think over it afterwards anyway, but okay, what could I have done better there or whatever? So I have my 50th birthday coming up, not next year, but the year after. thinking about what do I want for a party? What applies to me? Well, I've had 50 years worth of parties of what I like and what I don't like, and thinking about that and thinking, well, that one was a bit of a dud, but I learned from that I don't like this and I do like that, and let's build on it and get closer to what I want to have happen. So, yeah, what I'm saying is if you're doing a new thing, whatever that new thing is, doing a lot of it and learning from it, and yes, getting other people to help you and give you feedback as well is a good thing, but obviously someone you trust to cheer for you as well. But as you go on doing more and more and more, you're going to learn more and more and more, and eventually you're going to reduce that gap between your amazingly great taste and what you're able to produce. And it's worth pushing through. And don't think of it as failing, even though I've used that word umpty billion times today. Don't think of it as failing. Think of it like a little baby learning how to crawl, and look at yourself and give yourself a big cheer and a big smile and a big hooray, you're doing well, keep trying, because that's where we're at. Perfection is not absolutely necessary. We can just learn and keep going, and it's a good thing. I had to share one more failure story. I've got so many of them. I'm very good at looking at myself and saying, well, you failed. This one is new because I took up knitting this year. It didn't intentionally coincide with having a grandchild, but there you go. I'm a knitting nana. Ma is who I am. But anyway, I'm a knitter now. But I wanted to do a jumper. I wanted to do a nice blue boxy sweater. And I didn't know how to choose the yarn yet. I haven't chosen a lot of yarn. And I looked at the pattern and I looked at the deal, and I thought, right, well, we'll do this. And I got on the website, which was probably mistake number one, and ordered a quantity of yarn from Spotlight. And when it arrived at my front door, I realized that I had bought very wrong yarn. It was very wrong yarn. It was literally twice as thin as I needed it to be, or half as thick. It wasn't going to do the job. And that was very disappointing. What am I going to do with this yarn that's not good for anything? It's just rubbish. It's just it's lacework yarn, you know. It's for embroidery, and I'm just not interested in knitting with it. But then I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it anyway. It is exactly half as thick as I need it to be. I will hold two strands doubled, and I'm going to do this jumper anyway. So this whole jumper for me is... it's a bit of a failure. It's a foundational failure. But I have learned so much from doing it, and I'm just about finished. I've got one more end to weave in when I finish. And having learned a lot from it, I think I'm still going to be able to wear it. It's going to be quite a decent summer jumper for me, and a nice light cotton one. And it's going to be good. It's not perfect. It's not perfect because it's built with the wrong yarn, for starters, but it is a perfectly good jumper to wear, and I'm going to enjoy wearing it, and I think it looks quite reasonable in the end. So if you have a failure like that, or a failure story that's ended up good enough or encouraging, I'd love to hear it. Please tell me about it. Please write to me, ruth@ruthamos.com.au, or tweet me at A Quiet Life blog on Twitter, or find me on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author, because I would love to hear your failure stories. Oh, and while I'm there, I need to say thank you to Miranda, who gave me some lovely feedback from the last podcast and said that it spoke to her. And that just encourages me. It encourages me so much when you share with me that this is good. I hope that it's good for you and worth doing. Yeah, so I'd love to hear from you, and I look forward to talking to you again next time.